You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
And we have a special guest in studio.
Yay.
Hi. Hi, Bree.
What up?
Bree's back.
Bree's back.
I'm back.
And this is not a Bree's Radio Theater, which is what you normally stop
That's
by.
What I've been doing.
Yeah, but like you've got something else to share with us because you do more than radio theater.
Yeah,
all
that's
the time.
True. I am, I think, at least a two-trick pony, as you'll learn today.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, as much as I love writing Christmas programs.
You also love doing them.
I also love helping facilitate Christmas programs for the church that I am a part of.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So we've got a How to Lutheran episode today.
Yep.
And you're going to share some Christmas pageant wisdom with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm excited.
Giddy up, pony.
Yeehaw, baby. Yeehaw. It's called A Guide to Fun and Fabulous Christmas Programs at Church Program Summary. Nope. I just read the first line and...
I already know that I wish I'd had this episode like 20 years ago.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Where were you 20 years ago, Bree?
Where was I 20 years ago? I was a sophomore in college.
Wow.
Oh,
those
wow.
were the days.
Wow. Those were no, the days.
I was a freshman in college.
There you go.
Why do I think? No.
No.
I was a sophomore in college.
I should have to rule that back. 16 years ago was the first time I think I ever directed a Christmas program. And that's when I would have needed this episode.
Okay.
But thankfully, there are people out there today who are just where I was.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're welcome to those people in that position.
Yay.
Just to give you a little bit of context, I say facilitating Christmas programs like I've done more than one. But the truth of the matter is I've done one and it was last year. But all
You're
that to say,
expert.
I'm such an expert, but all that to say, I 100% would do it again. This year, we did not do that for personal reasons, but 100% in the future would definitely make this sort of a mainstay as part of the life of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Wherever Matt gets called off to.
Yeah.
Moving forward. So.
Okay.
Just to give you some additional background. So last year, my husband is a pastor at Timothy Lutheran Church, just to get all of you caught up to speed. And I, last year, helped put on a Christmas musical.
A musical.
Correct. Hey. It's not even a play. It's a whole musical.
Oh, this gets even better.
For those of you who might be interested in this particular program, prefacing, this is not a CPH project, so you can take this out if you want. We did On Our Way to Bethlehem by Roger Emerson and John Jacobson.
On our way to Bethlehem.
It's not the one I think it is. Ooh.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I'm very interested.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On Our Way to Bethlehem. Roger Emerson and John Jacobson. This is a really good musical if you want to include it as part of your church service because it is a 25-minute runtime.
Ooh. Okay.
There's about 20 speaking parts, and we had cast ages 4 years old through high school.
Okay.
So it was a pretty big, robust experience.
That's
for
a
us.
Wide age range.
It is. And we also had some other kids that were just like the chorus. So to be fair, we have a pretty growing kids and youth demographic at our church. So that it was really easy to introduce this as a potential musical, but we did also have a couple of kids play multiple parts.
Yeah.
So
okay, so this wasn't just a pageant. This was like a production.
It was a production, which I think is why they brought me in. They brought me in on this project for that very reason.
They know your reputation.
Yeah, correct.
Or you were just fresh meat.
Honestly, this was the first time, I think, in the history of us being at Timothy where there was something like this, unless I'm just completely ignorant and am unaware.
So it had been
That's
a
awesome.
While.
Correct.
Quite a while.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Did you propose the idea?
I did not.
Okay.
We recently, not recently, probably in the last few years, we called a worship director to Timothy, Janah Knapp.
Yeah.
And she had proposed doing a Christmas musical.
Mm.
She asked me if I wanted to participate in that. I'm like, absolutely, let's do it.
Okay. So Janah is fabulous.
Oh my gosh, she's my
so talented.
Oh, I love her. She's so great. And she's, I love Korean food because of her now.
Okay.
Like her taste in food just revolutionized my palate. I love to tell you. Let me just
on an upcoming
you.
Episode.
On an upcoming episode.
Bree shares Korean food.
So, so to the point about Janah and sort of her seeding this idea, the first tip that I want to share with you today, and really today is just going to be a series of tips and ideas and guidelines for those of you who, like Rachel at one point, are thinking about doing a Christmas program or think that your Christmas your Christmas offerings can be more robust at your church. So the first tip that I would like to provide today is don't go it alone.
Mm.
It truly takes a village to put on, even though it's 25 minute runtime, including songs,
mm-hmm.
you're wrangling 20 plus kids,
yeah.
like most of whom are doing lines and solos and singing, mm-hmm. right? Some mm-hmm. of which are 4 years old and probably have no business saying lines in a musical. Mm-hmm. Janah was sort of the musical brains behind the musical. I obviously was like the theatrical expert. And we had another woman in the, she's one of those ladies, she's one of those Lutheran ladies that does everything all the time. Like she is just like the jack of all trades, yes. Carla.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, I'll do costumes. And so the thing about that was I was like, okay, we're going to do like bed sheets and rope for the shepherds. And like, we're going to make little like ear, like lamb ear headband things and like t-shirts and yep. it's going to be cute. Yeah. This woman, if I can find the church service we did this program at, I will send it to you because yes. I think it we probably live strummed it.
Live strummed.
Okay. like ornate costumery, like lamb costumes and not just like, oh, white t-shirt and black knee-high socks on uh-huh. the legs, like it uh-huh. just, or up on the arms. It right. was like straight up gorgeous, like beautiful robes and animal costumes. Mm-hmm. And wow. like we had a family that was, that they do like set design or they what? Like, they do like these super ornate like Halloween wow. and Christmas decorations. And they're like, we want to build a stable for you to
wow,
put on.
That's cool.
So like, it was cool that people also stepped up. But the point being is Carla, Janah, and I really, we put in the work, right? For, we mm-hmm. were there every Saturday. We, you know, it was our sort of, this was the thing that we were doing. But I also want to say that be prepared day of when you are doing your Christmas musical, you're going to want additional helpers day mm-hmm. of. So if you think mm-hmm. about it, if you have kids who are playing multiple roles, there may be costume changes in there that you need to have, queuing for people to walk in and say their lines, offering assistance for lines if, you know, kids get stage fright or they forget or whatever, like having mm-hmm. someone on standby to sort of
ready to prompt
to prompt and make sure it's still a dignified experience mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and also just like child wrangling, because I'm going to be honest, like kids are chaotic, which is part of their appeal mm-hmm. in my opinion, but still same. Like you're in a church service, you need to show reverence because we are in the house of the Lord mm-hmm. right? So
yeah.
having multiple adults the day of and maybe even outside of that time with rehearsals and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely important. This is not something you should be doing by yourself. I'm sorry. I don't really care how ambitious you feel in the moment. I'm telling you right now,
wow.
as the most ambitious, like I come up with just overly ambitious things that I have no business saying that I'm going to do or committing to. I'm uh-huh. telling you right now as that person, do not do a Christmas program by yourself. Don't, if your pastor asks you to do a Christmas program, don't say no. Say no. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Okay.
Don't do it by yourself.
Don't do it by yourself.
Don't do it by yourself.
Say yes.
Say yes.
Say yes and.
Yes and.
Unless it's by yourself, then say no.
Okay. Yes. As someone whose daily status is usually overextended, this is good advice.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Now, I think another benefit that you get to having this sort of shared leadership model is you get sort of a balance. Like, we all deal with kids in different ways, right? Yeah. And so for me, I've been called the Pied Piper of children.
True story.
I can basically play a flute and get them to follow me around and just dance.
I believe it.
Jannah, on the other hand, not really that kind of person, right?
She might have a PhD in organ performance, but that won't lure the children.
Correct.
Yeah.
And she's also taught music. Like, she gives music lessons to kids. Mm-hmm. So, like, she knows what works. And what works for her is not being Pied Piper to the children. Absolutely.
Well, and you need that, too. I find this in my own life. I'm very good at getting the children enthusiastic about things. When it's time to calm everybody down, not my gift. I need to, like, tag team someone in for that.
Same.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So you have sort of these complementary skill sets. I can't sew ornate animal costumes. Like, that's Carla's job. And I think Jannah really upheld sort of the side of you need to be diligent. You need to be excellent. You need to memorize your lines. You need to sing these songs in these certain ways. Not because she was she is somebody who, like, is demanding of that. I think she really encourages diligence because she knows what these kids are capable of. And she's able to communicate it in a way that is not, like, threatening or domineering, but, like, meanwhile, I'm over here, like, this is low stakes fun. It's joyful. It's playful. It's kids being kids. Like, I'm more of like, I mean, if you want to memorize your lines, that's like, but it's so, it is in the grand scheme of things, it is so unserious. And so I'm not going to be like, you need to be off book by 2 weeks.
I don't care if you're four.
Right. I don't care if you can't to begin with.
There's no crying in Christmas pageants.
Yes. So I think having that balance then, if we need it, if you wanted to call it in sort of in a tongue-in-cheek way, like a good cop, bad cop situation, like, it's good to have that shared leadership model because then you have those complementary strengths. And I think it works for us because we had 4 and 5 year olds doing lines and singing solos and everyone just had a great old time. What I will say, as we talk about it taking a village, parent buy-in is essential to this work. Most of the people whose kids were in the program, we encourage, especially the younger kids, we encouraged them to stick around. Our rehearsals were typically Saturday mornings at a time where, like, if naps were still a thing, like, it was at a pretty accessible time. We felt like, especially with the younger kids, I think a lot of parents just wanted to stay if they had younger kids anyway. But we certainly wanted them playing a role. We didn't necessarily want them just dropping off their kids and driving away. And I mean, there was some of that, but that was usually like the older kids that could take care of themselves. Now, I think it's also important for parents to buy in because we would like them to help their kids memorize lines. Here is a compact disc of the songs. Play this in your car when you're out driving around with your kids, like helping them do all of that. So just reinforcing everything at home and help with, you know, come in, help your kid change into their costume at for dress rehearsal, like that kind of stuff. Things that parents, things that I am more comfortable with a parent doing than me doing. Like, there's just, I don't want to do that. I also feel like there is a hidden opportunity here. For those of you who really want to go down this road, I would encourage you to think about this if there is capacity. When you get parent buy-in and you have parents sticking around for a 1.5 to 2 hour rehearsal, Mm-hmm. Provide opportunities for community for them. Mm-hmm. Make coffee if they want to, you know, gather in another place at the church building. Like, mm-hmm. give them that opportunity to, like, for lack of a better term, like, network and just be in community with one another.
Yeah.
Have time for fellowship. Provide them that opportunity. Because mm-hmm. I think that also is a draw for parents who don't necessarily want to be there. They don't want to just sit there and watch their kids deliver lines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. We talk all the time about how important in-person community and fellowship is. And if you've got an opportunity for that, that's kind of just organic because everyone's going to be in the same place at the same time anyway. Yeah. You might as well take advantage of it.
100.
So yeah. How did you go about getting parent buy-in? Like, what did you do to get them to be like, yeah, I'm going to commit to bringing my kid to rehearsals on Saturday mornings for 3 months.
I will credit the parents of Timothy this.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are already present and supportive. Okay. And also, they're the kind of parents where if we asked them to stick around or please come early to put your kid in their costume, they're going to get there early to put their kid in their costume. Yeah. So sometimes getting the buy-in is as simple as just asking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So actually, the people who do set design, they were one of the families that they dropped their daughter off and then they peaced out and then came back a couple hours later to pick her up. And I, you know, we would talk at the end of rehearsal and that's where we got to talking about, oh, we do set design. Mm. What can we do for you? How do you, you know, want this to look? And so I think making connections with the parents at least so that maybe in the future you sort of warm them up to being more involved in the church.
Yeah.
So just checking in with with parents too, making sure they feel sort of included in the environment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for sure.
Okay.
Here's my second tip. We kind of went down a road. That was one whole tip. And just to remind everybody, don't do it by yourself. It takes multiple adults to put this together. So here is my second tip for all of you, my second lesson learned. It's really good that when you're leading kids in a Christmas musical or maybe just musicals in general, treat them like quote unquote professionals. Treat them like professionals in air quotes. Okay. I find that like normalizing the theater environment is going to like reduce the anxiety and it's going to sort of positively reinforce being there. It increases confidence. It motivates kids to memorize lines and sing the songs out loud and just sort of bring their best.
Yeah.
Even though I was very like low pressure about it, I came in sort of with this mindset of low pressure, but having high respect for the kids for sort of the art of theater.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so what I would try to do is I would make rehearsal fun in order to disarm that anxiety. But also that allows me for an opportunity to interject corrections. So like just to give you an example, I really leaned into the theater director persona. And I was a director's chair and a megaphone short of being like a Steven Spielberg. Like I wore like a long flowing tunic.
Did you really?
Like a beret and
oh my goodness.
And like I just would be like when they would do a line really good, I'd be like, oh, bravo, bravo. Like just really like affirming, but then like
not joking. Like you're not mocking them. It was silly, but it was sincere.
And they got it. They understood it. And when you sort of approach it like that in sort of this light spirited way, you can also go in and be like, hey, when you are delivering this line, make sure that you're facing the audience when you're doing it so that they can hear you better. Now, of course, you put your, you know, dramatic theater director persona spin on it, but you make it such that they still feel dignity in that moment. And it's kind of silly and they learn through those moments.
Yeah.
And we talked about this actually in our recent episode on starting a children's choir. Same deal. That these kids, they are capable of so much. And if you go in respecting their abilities and their potential and treating them like you have you know, these high expectations for them, they love that. They love to be respected.
Yeah, right. They're going to rise to it when you believe in them.
Yeah.
So here are some other ways that you can treat them like sort of professional actors. You equip them like actors. We gave each of the kids a playbook with their lines and their script and their music, and we gave them pencils. And if they wanted to take notes, even if the notes didn't really make sense or matter, like if they wanted to make little notations in their books, like they had the opportunity to do that. Mm-hmm. I would talk to them and use actual theater terms. Yeah. Like I'd be like, so when I tell you where you need to go, this is actually called blocking. And so when we talk about blocking in the future, that basically just means that I'm going to show you where you need to go before you deliver your lines. And so just throwing out like simple theater language, like really helps. And it really, especially with the older kids, they're kind of like, oh, okay. I'm being taken seriously here, because like how many of us in our own like Christmas program experiences, especially when we're like pushing junior high school, are like, this is corny and I can't believe I'm doing this. Right.
Yep.
Because we are still being treated like children. Right. Like we were still that because we were in the children's program. And I think when you give them that, like that edge of like, yeah, I can understand, like, I'm going to treat you like an adult.
Yeah.
Then that it becomes less like corny. Mm-hmm.
Right? It legitimizes the whole experience for them.
100%. 100%. In a similar way, give all of the kids agency. Mm-hmm. Let them like explore the space. Let them scream into the microphone until it gets old, because then they're not going to do it during the service. Mm-hmm. Like, let them touch the scenery or explore the props. Like, let them make use of the space, not just, okay, we're going to march you up to do your lines and then you're going to march back down, but we don't want you touching anything or getting your hands all over stuff. Like,
yeah,
let them do it. Like, let them have, give them some agency to like own the space.
Yeah.
We also incorporated fun production traditions. Like I really wanted to build like a theater kid experience, right? So when I did children's programs, it was always like, okay, thank you for being in this production. Like, here's a paper bag of candy and like a pen and an orange. And thank you for this, which is fine. Like,
that's what I got too.
Right? Like,
we might have to do an episode on the Christmas Eve candy bag, you guys.
It might be a thing.
It might be.
That's amazing.
But like, I said, okay, we could do that. Obviously, it's more common than I realized. But like, we made them autograph books that they could like, after the show, like they could sign each other's autograph books. And like, we did like craft service snack breaks. And like, we did, you know, the silly, absurd vocal warm-ups and the tongue twisters. We had a post-production cast party. Like,
we never had that.
Uh-huh. And so I was like, as a theater kid growing up, I was like, we need to have a cast party.
Yes.
So we did. And we maybe a few weeks after the show, like I think in the new year, we brought everyone in and we had pizza and did games.
That's
and
great.
That's adorable.
Here was my favorite game, and I made this one up and I'm proud of it. So I'm sharing it with you.
It wasn't Find the Peanut.
It wasn't Find the Peanut.
Please do. I always need more icebreaker games in my life.
So a few weeks had surpassed. And so I'm like, okay, we're playing this memory game. At any time during this party, I'm just going to blurt out one of the song lyrics. And the first person to finish the lyrics is going to get a piece of candy at you.
That would work so well for your children's choir too, Rachel.
Yeah. There you go.
Yep. They would love it if I threw a candy.
Just in the middle of a rehearsal. Sing a line, see who finishes it, and they get a prize. Mm-hmm. And that kept them engaged through the entire thing.
Yeah.
So 100%, that's my favorite game. So yes, all that to say, treat them like professionals, give them the theater kid experience, and let them feel like they're actually a part of something.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So that they own it.
Yeah. Okay.
Here's my third and final tip for those of you who want to put on a Christmas play or musical for your church. Let's be honest, I think sometimes we go about doing children things in the church because kids are cute. And we want to make the parents go, oh, and like laugh and let kids just be cute in front of mm-hmm. everyone's eyeballs, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And Christmas programs, we do Christmas programs because we're a church and every church does this every year. We have to do it, right? Mm. And I think Christmas traditions in the church, especially those that involve children, should not be considered an afterthought. They should not be considered filler.
Yeah.
Because they're doing ministry in these moments. Like, even if it's like in a corny, like, you know, song or, you know, reciting lines, like they are sharing the story of the birth of our Savior. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, if nothing else, if you want to treat the kids with high regard, it's because they are being messengers of the gospel. Mm-hmm. And so as you are going about, as silly as you are in these rehearsals and as high professionals as you want to treat them, like they are ministers of the gospel. And so it's very important to show your gratitude for them and mm-hmm. to keep them mindful of like, this is what you're doing. This is a very important job that you're doing. It's fun, but this is a very important job. And so to like show that gratitude because of that is tremendously important. And it helps them take it. That helps them take it even more seriously that they have sort of this sacred duty to do their best in the Christmas musical.
Yeah, that is. And that's such a great thing. I think that is, you know, you talk about that Lutheran distinction as opposed to maybe some of the more evangelical churches where when you have a group of children who are not just churchgoers, but who are baptized members of the body of Christ, mm-hmm. those are your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those are your partners in ministry, you know? Yeah. And yes, they deserve the full dignity of being treated as people who are sharing the gospel of peace with you, not simply as, you know, kids on that old show, Kids Say the Darndest Things. You know, that's right. So many of the opportunities for children to come up, you know, whether for a Christmas program or a children's sermon, are basically that for the adult.
Right. Yeah.
But no, these are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and they may have a simplified, pared down version of the gospel to share with us, but it is the gospel. And yeah. I love that you emphasize that. You know, yeah. Give them that dignity and don't just, I mean, yeah, they're hilarious. They love to be laughed at sometimes, you know, like they love the attention.
Oh, they're silly. 100%. 100%.
But,
and we, you know, they got a pep talk at every rehearsal and prior to the show, like this is a significant thing that you're doing.
Right.
And we're grateful that you mm-hmm. are helping us do it.
And they love yeah. that.
Correct.
Yeah. I have core memories of doing the Christmas pageant. Like it was a thing in grade school. And like, that's the reason why I love the Luke 2 Christmas cantata that we did so many years. And that's the mm-hmm. reason why I love the Krampus Carol, because like you're saying, like it was a serious, but like joyful thing to be a part of that mm-hmm. every year. Mm-hmm. And so like, because like, these kids are going to grow up to be adult Christians and they're going to remember, mm-hmm. remember all of these things. Right. And like those things really do make an yeah. impact on kids when they're young, knowing that they have this part of telling the Christmas story.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. To sure. know that they're not just comic relief, but they are mm-hmm. making a significant contribution to the life of the church.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's yeah. excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all that to say, it's very hard work if you want to put on a Christmas musical at your church, but it is deeply fulfilling. And I think, quite frankly, the most fun, most impactful way that I've volunteered for the church probably in my near 40 years of life. So yeah. I 100%, I'm sort of in my year of no right now when it comes to like volunteering, and stuff, which is an episode for another time.
Ooh, but okay. Like
next year, 2026, is it 2026
it,
next
it
year?
It will be 2026.
It is 2026. Yeah. Like, yes, let's resurrect this. Let's make it.
Uh-huh.
Let's do it. Like, it is super fun and highly recommend if you have the capacity and you have the village to help you. And you love working with kids and see, you know, the sacred value, just the value period of what they're doing in this role, like 100% recommend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That sounds really cool. How many times did you do, how many times did you run the program? Like, sorry, the perform, how many times did the kids perform the program? Was it once and done or was it multiple times?
It was once and done. We did it at the late service.
Okay.
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 So,
okay.
Is and it was, it basically didn't replace the service of the word. Like we started with the program and then we went into the sermon and the creeds and then communion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So obviously this was a very rewarding experience. And I ask this as an interested party. I haven't led a children's program in a number of years, but our church is talking about, not this year, but maybe next year, restarting. It's one of those things. A lot of things got dropped during COVID and haven't made it back yet. And so it is very likely going to be in our future now that we have the children's choir up and going and everyone's enjoying that. You know, natural next step would be a Christmas program.
Absolutely.
So what would you have done? Is there anything you would have done differently after this experience? Like you've told us all the good things to do. Are there any cautionary notes?
There's nothing bad about it.
And you're like, next time I plan to do this one thing, because it sounds like there's definitely going to be a next time.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know.
I need to be more confident because you're like, it worked so well last time and I've thought about why. So
I think having an understanding of how difficult it truly is helpful, because when you dive into it and you're excited and you're like, yes, we're going to do this thing. Because like when I do things for the first time, a lot of times I jump in. I'm like, yeah, let's go.
You and too, huh?
You forget. Mm-hmm. And even now it's kind of like it's that verse in the Bible where like the birthing pains are terrible, but like once you have the baby, like you forget all of that. Mm-hmm. I don't even know where that's from, but like that's kind of what it feels like sometimes. So I think my admonition for everybody is like, it is hard. Mm-hmm. It's fun. And I don't want anyone to think that I'm making it sound easy.
Did you make a t-shirt for it?
Did I make a t-shirt?
Yeah, were there show t-shirts?
Oh my gosh, that's my answer to your question.
Okay.
A show t-shirt.
T-shirts.
Yeah, cast t-shirt.
Well, yes.
I forgot about cast that. And crew t-shirts.
My takeaway from your answer, because honestly, t-shirts are probably, I'm going to need to find someone in my village to do the t-shirts because I don't do t-shirts.
Yeah, dude.
But my takeaway from that is that if I do it again, and if anyone out there listening is doing it again, take the job seriously. And clear your calendar.
Correct.
So that you can really give it the attention it deserves.
That's true. I don't know if I mentioned this. I think it was in my notes. We started in October.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
We started
that's a
in
heavy
October.
Commitment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So was it weekly in October from that point? And then it was for Thanksgiving?
It was generally every week starting in October. I don't want to say it was beginning. Maybe mid-October. Okay. And there were a couple of weeks in there where... Uh-huh. We took off. So like Thanksgiving and travel and all that. And so to just give you an idea too, like it wasn't full on like hour to 2 hour things at the beginning necessarily. Mm-hmm. A lot of those were just like learning the songs, like sitting in the choir loft and like learning the songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It probably wasn't until like end of October, early November, where we started like using a stage and blocking and all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it definitely ramps up closer to the end.
Yeah. That is awesome.
Oh, it's so inspiring.
Mm-hmm. It was so good. I loved it.
I hope we can see it.
I'm going to try to find it.
Yes.
I'm going to try to find it, and I think I can find it.
All right. Well, all right. If you find it, we'll put it in the show notes.
Heck, yes.
Well, Brie, it's been fun to have you in studio sharing your tidbits of wisdom.
I love it. I have so many tidbits.
Cheese balls of creativity and tidbits of wisdom. It's been great, Brie. Thanks for joining us.
Yes.
Thank you for having me.
Then, ladies, if you've run your own Christmas musical, Because this was a Christmas musical.
Straight up musical.
Uh-huh. Ladies, if you've run a musical or even a Christmas program, we'd love to know your wisdom as well. You can share that in the show notes. Not in the show notes. I write the Rachel writes the show notes. In the comments.
That's right.
Of this episode in the Lutheran Ladies Lounge Facebook group or on Instagram. We'd love to know your own stories. You can follow us in both of those places. You can find all of our episodes at KFUO.org/Lutheran Ladies Lounge or on your favorite podcasting app or on the KFUO radio app. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
The year is almost out, which means it's time to shop at the KFUO store for 25% off or more on everything. Head to KFUO.org/store for your discounted Yeti tumbler, Lutheran Ladies t-shirt, socks, limited centennial ornament, and more. The KFUO store year-end sale runs from November 24th through December 31st. Your purchase of any item supports our station and the ministry of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. KFUO.org/store.
Views and opinions expressed on the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO Radio, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge is produced by KFUO Radio and available at KFUO.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a review for us too. If you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast, consider financially supporting our producer, KFUO Radio, so we can keep doing what we do. Find out how at KFUO.org/give.